This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com. But baby, I'm for real. I'm as real can get.
If what you're looking for is another night in Springfield, Illinois for me last night watching the Sliders and listening to, sitting right in front of like three 65-year-old women yelling, "Go, Dominic!" Not pronouncing Dominic's name right. And
yeah, you see like a lot of old money there around that Springfield area,
those
the
green
minor
seats.
League baseball stadiums.
I'm going to take out a loan and see if I can get green seats one night. They have the dollar beer before the first pitch, and then after the sixth inning, they sell all the outstanding sandwiches for $2. It's a great deal.
I like the parents that justify eating a lot because their kids won't finish it. Well, you're buying your kid a 12,000-calorie funnel cake. Of course, he's obviously not going to eat it all.
In fact, I told Dom, because they feed the players after the games, and I said, "Are you getting that concession food?" He goes, "Yeah."
Got to get that per diem.
Yeah, you're right. That per diem. You know what the NBA per diem is the other day? I heard this yesterday from a guy in the league. $180 a day per diem. Is that crazy?
I mean, wouldn't you just go get a nice filet every single day?
How many times are you spending more than one night in a city in the NBA?
Oh, I'm eating a fancy meal every night. No wonder why they go out.
I mean, let's just say you have an expensive breakfast for $25, and then you have a sandwich at lunch, and that's another $20, $50. That means $130 dinners?
Oh, I'm telling you, my dinners are bomb. Nice little glass of wine there.
Yeah.
Got red meat of my choice. Maybe some nice seafood. Maybe
no,
a lobster
but you know
tail.
What you'd be doing? You'd be pocketing some of this money and, maybe having a McDonald's in the morning for $5.
Again, we're putting ourselves in the mindset of an athlete. If I'm even making minimum of $600K, I'd probably try to spend that full per diem. Now, if you're talking now, if I get a per diem of $200 a day, I'm buying Lunchables and pocketing the other $190 and I'm headed out.
All right, Brian, what do we have now?
Let's do five for Frank.
Time to tee up the hot topics.
Oh, yeah.
It's five for Frank. Brought to you by Greenville University, a liberal arts institution, just 45 miles from St. Louis.
Frank, is there a better encapsulation of the Cardinals' first half than this? They're two out in the National League Central, and Tommy Pham has a 2.5 wins above replacement.
Wow. And in fact, explain that for our listening audience in as layman of terms as possible, this wins above replacement called WAR, what that actually means.
Basically, how many wins Tommy Pham is worth more than a replacement level player. So, someone you just called up from AAA, which I think you would think the Cardinals have a lot of replacement level players on their roster right now, especially in the outfield at present.
The whole roster.
Who on the Cardinal team is higher than a 2.5? And Marcelo Ozuna would be higher than 2.5?
Ozuna probably. DeJong certainly would be.
Yeah.
That's a good question. Let me look that up real quick. I wonder because of
Colton Wong?
No, because of defense, DeJong's at 2.8. He's Ozuna's only 1.7. It might just be Paul DeJong.
What is Bader considered? That's interesting.
Is actually right at 1, surprisingly, because of defense. Defense would be.
How about Jose Martinez?
Jose Martinez is 0.2.
Now, Brian, so does that make that wins above replacement stat not be the end-all, be-all?
Yeah.
Because we'd rather have Jose Martinez than Harrison Bader, correct?
Yes.
So if one of them is higher, but we know that Jose is more valuable.
But we all know that we'd rather have Tommy Pham than anybody in our current outfield since Ozuna is sidelined.
What is Goldschmidt right now?
One.
Yeah,
which you would hope would get higher as the year progresses.
And then Matt Carpenter.
Matt Carpenter is at 0.4.
Wow. And then how about Yadier Molina?
Yadier Molina checks in at... Where's Yadier? Oh, minus 0.1.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then give us our other catcher, Mr. Wieters.
Matt Wieters is right at 0.
Okay.
It's actually not bad for a
part-time. What do you got there,
catcher?
Luke Voit?
Just 1.7, and I have to go with Mike Trout. It's amazing, just 5.9. He's unbelievable.
Wonder who was smart enough to draft him first in the Tennessee draft. Oh, that was me. Thank you.
Yeah, but, you know.
It took a lot of baseball acumen.
You're the typical manager, similar to what the D-back did to Goldschmidt. You got that one player, but you're not really good at surrounding top-tier talent, right? That's why you're in the middle of the pack standings.
We're third in wins, by the way.
Okay, give me your biggest second-half prediction for the Cardinals.
That Paul Goldschmidt does catch fire and looks like a face of the franchise player. Yep, I'm going to go with that.
And maybe go above 500?
I say below 500.
That's Yeah.
Oh, so you're looking for a record?
No, I just bolded prediction. My prediction is they finish below 500.
83 wins is what I predicted, and I'm kind of getting worried now that it might go under that.
So you think they're going to go? They're going to play less than 500, even with the way the pitching is kind of...
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Because I Flaherty's trending up. Michaelis has been steadfast to a degree, but Wainwright probably is due for a trend down. Dakota Hudson, I don't know where he's going to stand, and who's their fifth starter?
Yeah, and I think the Ozuna injury, with being the he's your power guy. You don't know how that'll affect. You saw how he played with an injury last year. It was kind of up and down, kind of a roller coaster season for him. Ended up having decent numbers. I think I may side with Brian just because, like, your roster might be worse the first couple weeks to a month of this season, or the second half of the season with Ozuna sideline.
And wrist injuries and hand injuries are tricky for a hitter. You saw what happened to DeJong last year after his broken wrist. Number three, five for Frank, five for the guys. You are Redskins president and general manager Bruce Allen. You just saw a video this morning of maybe one of your highest paid players, Josh Norman, in Spain, leaping over a bull. It's the running of the bulls, Frank, in Spain. What are you thinking when you see that?
Wow. I'm calling my tax guy, my insurance guy to find out, do I have this guy insured? And if he gets hurt, do we have to pay him or does insurance pay?
He cleared it. Did not hit the bull. So he cleared the bull. But still,
I mean, that's startling too.
Yeah. I got a hell of an athlete there.
Don't they have stipulation in some contracts?
But there's probably
where
not
you can't
one of the
golf in the regular season.
Yeah, play basketball. There's probably not one as specific as you can't run, you know, jump over a bull.
Yeah.
That would be pretty.
I don't know if that'd be in my top 100 and things not to do as a player. So I guess if it's not in your contract, you just kind of suck it up and deal with it.
I've not seen the video. He jumps over?
Yeah, he jumps over
a
bull.
Pretty impressive.
It's not in the streets. It's in kind of like an arena. It looks like almost like a miniature coliseum. And how he had the space for it, I don't know, because it's a packed floor. This has got to be not so much focused on Josh Norman, just the idea itself has got to be the dumbest thing, where you are, it's a bull with major horns and angered.
And you think about things like this, the margin for error is, there isn't a margin for error.
No.
You either clear it or you're really getting mangled.
People do
There's
die
no...
doing this.
Yes. That's a tough call.
We're looking at, about to look at it here as we speak, although the ad is running for 15 seconds.
Don't
These ads
those?
Just tick me off so bad.
It's great when it's the ad is longer than the video itself. I'm a big fan of that.
The minute ad.
Right.
All right, hold on. I got to see this thing. So Josh Norman, one of the most athletic defensive backs in the league. Here we go. Let's see. This bull's just trying to hit somebody. And Josh Norman, I know this is not great radio. I don't even see him.
No,
gosh.
It's lengthwise, too, which is more impressive. It's the full length of the bull he's able to stay in the air for.
That is a great vertical jump.
Yes.
Oh, look at that.
But you're the owner of the team. What are you thinking?
Yeah, I'm thinking I'm on the phone with him. Hey, we're paying you a lot of money. That's a stupid thing to do. But God, what an athlete.
Frank, I'm curious because you brought up Ryan O'Reilly last hour, and I was wondering, all it took, which again, this is all in hindsight, knowing what has happened since then, which is the greatest Blues run in franchise history. But it took Patrick Berglund, who's out of the league now, Tage Thompson, who has not developed into the player people thought he would be, Vladimir Sobotka, who no one missed, and a first-round pick, which once you win the cup, who cares about the pick, and a second-round pick in 2021. What are the odds that, let's say 10 years from now, we speak about the Ryan O'Reilly trade in the same way we speak about the Marshall Faulk trade, or even the Lou Brock trade, a trade that just among the greatest trades in St. Louis sports history?
I think there's a very strong possibility of that. There's just nothing about O'Reilly that would make me think this is not going to work out. Because in addition to having this incredible hand-eye coordination, he's like the equivalent of a gym rat. You ought to see this guy, what he does before games. And then we all know what he does after practice. And he's surrounded by good teammates. Yeah, this is going to have legs. This guy, I think, has a chance to be remembered as one of the all-time greats.
It's not a bust yet. Now, if somehow Buffalo can draft maybe a Connor McDavid type with that second-round pick, it kind of evens out. But right now, this appears to be one of the worst, most lopsided trades I've seen in a while.
All right, five for the guys. Frank, we played this game when you were out of town in Italy last summer. We play the What's Frank Doing Right Now game, which normally the answer was eating. What's Martin doing right now?
Oh, straight surviving, whittling, you know, things out of sticks and making campfires.
Well, I think Carson is telling him, hey, Dad, let's go fishing, and it's kind of warm, and Martin is taking a nap and watching Netflix and telling Kim to watch Carson because he's a little tired.
Right now, he's holding his phone to the air, trying to get a Wi-Fi signal as Carson's trying to get learn how to fish. And
So he's Googling it? Like,
how to remove a fish from a hook.
Yeah, I could see that.
Hey, Dad, what bait do you want to use? Let me look here real quick.
What if Carson does catch a fish? You think Martin can remove it?
Honey!
Yeah, because Kim has Southern Illinois roots, so she may have some rule and some skills there. I could picture Kim. Martin, give me the freaking fishing rod. I'll handle this. The Ryan O'Reilly trade feels a lot like the Mark McGwire trade right now to me. That was T.J. Matthews and Blake Stein. That was a good one. I'm not denying it. But the difference is, O'Reilly, you've won a championship. McGwire, you did not win.
And two guys in a year are out of the league. Yeah. I mean, it's not like you guys have two struggling guys on the fourth line. I mean, they're not even on the team anymore. Tage Thompson finished the season in the minors. So the three players you got, none of them were playing on your team. That's tough.
All right, it's five for Frank, brought to you by Greenville University.
And we appreciate them being a part of it. Courtney D., Ryan O. is the man, no doubt. And I know we're prisoner of the moment, just won a championship, just won the Selke, but there's just something about him that he's real. He's for real. Cardinals are crap. If they miss the playoffs again, Mo is out, I hope, from Courtney D.
Nice.
Here's a question for you, Brian. Brian, what is your prediction for the front office if they're below 500?
Like, how does the front office handle it, or are there... I'm sure there'll be moves in the front office. I don't want to call for anyone's firing. That's inappropriate. But I'm sure... I mean, they talked a big game heading into this season about how this is their year to win, at least return to the postseason. And for if it ends below 500, you can't stand still, or, you know, enough changes have been made with the lineup and the coaching staff, and the blame is floating upwards. So I would imagine that would keep happening.
I don't know if the Cardinals could even do a move like try to manipulate what actually is going on and let Gersh go, because I think most of the fan base, when you see Gersh, he's probably a really smart, he's a well-spoken guy, but you can kind of tell during every press conference and every news conference, he kind of is just that guy that, you know, kind of Mosellock's the guy.
Yeah.
So Gersh, as a scapegoat, I don't think would work, because I think the fan base really have their target set on John Mosellock.
The point of that text, I'm sure, was, is John Mosellock in trouble?
Yeah.
So I think even if they miss the playoffs, John Mosellock is not going to lose his job. But we'll see.
You'll have a worse season next year, potentially, depending on if they make some really nice trades or a free agent acquisition you don't see, because you're going to have the same team minus Marcell Ozuna next year. That could be really bad.
Frank, is that per diem just for road games? Yes. When they're at home, they're responsible for feeding themselves. That's why they make $30 million a year. Let's see. Let's take a short time out. When we come back, we'll finish things up on the Hollywood Casino Press Box.